Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up, everyone? I'm Rod Rodriguez. Welcome to The Back Brief. As you can see, I've got, if you're on video, if you're watching me on YouTube, you can see I've got like this pesky, weird chin white hair thing going on here. I can't deal with it. I don't want to take it out. I think it makes me look distinguished. Okay, that's the feedback I'm getting. The wife says it's distinguished. I think the wife is just being very kind. Also, you'll notice if you're watching on YouTube, I took the green screen down. And I did that because I didn't like it. I liked having the logo, and I liked having the Vanessa Guillen poster that we had up here on the top left. And I don't know, I'm watching myself on camera and it's like everything's backwards. I thought the green screen looked a little bit too cable access channel. I wasn't digging it that much. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we need to bring it back. Or if you have an idea for something in the background other than these blue curtains, I'm thinking about maybe making the background a little dark and put some lights in there for dramatic effect. I don't know. I'm an audio guy. I came up doing podcasts. You never had to see me, really. So this is a new experience, being in front of a camera and having to deal with like what goes in the background. But I do have some really cool lights in here. Before, if you notice in early videos, I was like flushed out, like I don't know what they call it, like whited out. It was like a ball of white light that was my base because it was just reflecting all of it. So, you know, I think we fixed some of the lighting issues. Now we got to fix the background issues. So if you got some suggestions, shoot them in the comments there. Let me know what you think. Before we continue with this week's news, also, we are doing some amazing stuff at ConnectingVets.com. Folks, if you found this podcast, if you're listening and you're just not sure where this amazing show came from, it's from Connecting Vets. So go to ConnectingVets.com right now. Well, not right now because you're watching this or you're listening to this, but after we're done, go to ConnectingVets.com and you're going to find some links to amazing stories. We have a team of amazing reporters, of absolutely phenomenal, talented. Yeah, I'm gassing them up, whatever. But they are really good at what they do. And it's all about veteran news. Now, here's the thing about veterans that I've noticed in my years is that we have a tendency to complain and be angry about issues that we're like, we should have known about this. Well, people like Abby Bennett, they probably wrote a story about it. It just went under your radar. Get these topics back on your radar, man. Maybe you got to fine tune that thing, expand your search parameters. We're independent. We're telling the story as it is, as it unfolds. And we're right here in DC where all the crazier decisions get made for veterans and service members. So even though we're ConnectingVets.com, folks, if you're a service member or you support the military, this is the website for you. There are some stories there that you won't believe are happening. And it's taking place. It's happening right now. And we are covering it. And the final bit of business here, Vet Story. Folks, I do another show called Vet Story, and it's extremely 100%, 180 different from what we're doing right here. So this is the Back Brief. We talk about the news of the week, and I have a great time talking to some of our reporters. Vet Story is completely different. You will not see an interview. You're not going to hear an interview on that podcast. It is veteran stories, stories that changed their life, their perspective, stories that changed the way that they thought. And it's their stories in their words. That's it. Boom. We add some special effects, some audio, magic. We want to make it, we're gonna make it interesting for you. But it is a completely different kind of podcast than you've ever heard. Go check it out. Vet Story. You can find it on all your podcast catchers. Just, you know, put in Vet Story. It's all one word, V-E-T-S-T-O-R-Y. Boom. Enter Vet Story and you see us pop up. Subscribe, listen, like, and review us. For the love of God, please leave us a review. Tell us what you think. If you think it sucks, tell me that it sucks. But if you think it's great and you think it's worthy of 5 stars, well, please leave us a 5-star review. Folks, this has been an insane week. We're going to talk about Nazi, Satanist, jihadist. We got an update on that story. We are talking about some really interesting post-retirement obligations that might be coming up. So if you're retiring after 20 years, you might be subject to some of these new rules. We are talking about the first female Special Forces Green Beret. And there's some other stuff in there too. There's a lot of other stuff me and Jack cover. It's, you know, that's the thing about talking to Jack Murphy. He is such an interesting person that we always kind of go off the rails a little bit. Anyways, let's kick this show off. My guest today is the amazing Jack Murphy. Jack, thanks for joining me on the show, man. This has been a crazy week for some veteran news, and you have a headline that kind of fits in with the mood, the gist, the zeitgeist of 2020. What is it, man?
Yeah, man. Satanic Nazi soldier pleads not guilty in terror plot targeting his own unit. And that sounds like the plot of a dime store novel, but it actually happened. So Army Private Ethan Meltzer is being charged by the Department of Justice. He was talking to what he thought was satanic neo-Nazis on an internet messaging platform, but he was actually talking to a undercover informant. So he was talking to or trying to talk to the so-called Rape Waffen Division, and also ISIS, and also Al-Qaeda, according to the indictment, and a group called the Order of the Nine Angels, which is against like a satanic neo-Nazi group, as strange as that sounds. And he was giving them operational security information about his unit's movements overseas, deploying to Turkey, and trying to have them contact their ISIS pals, allegedly, to set up an ambush and kill his own unit, which in his mind would be this like great thing because it would draw America into another decade of war in the Middle East. So the prosecutors, he was arrested and he appeared before the Southern District Court of New York this week. He had to appear remotely. All of the parties appeared remotely because of COVID. So there's some interesting interplay with the court about that. And he had he volunteered to waive his rights to appear in person because of the COVID stuff going on. And I got a copy of the transcript, although there's not anything super significant in there other than the fact when the judge asked him how he pleaded to the 6 charges, they're charges of attempted murder, conspiracy, intent to maim and injure, he pled not guilty. Even though the feds appear to have the receipts, he pleads not guilty. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this trial unfolds.
So, we first talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This guy got hemmed up by, we think, the feds. Probably people were, posing as satanic Nazi recruiters. Come help us and we'll kill your group. And I vaguely remember something to do with Al-Qaeda or something like that was also kind of brought into the mix.
And it's not totally clear exactly what was going on from the portions of the chat transcripts that are inside the criminal complaint, but it appears that he was talking to the Order of the Nine Angels slash these Rape Waffen Division weirdos. And the idea in Meltzer's head was that these neo-Nazis were going to contact people in ISIS or Al-Qaeda, essentially use jihadists to give them the information and let them execute the attack. So at least theoretically, it would be, neo-Nazis collaborating with ISIS. Now, I don't think that was ever an actual plot. I think it was only a plot in Meltzer's head and a plot in the head of an FBI informant. I don't think it went any further than that. Thank goodness. But that seems to be the concept behind it.
That is absolutely insane, man. So what happens now? He's pleading not guilty. Is that normal? I mean, if they caught him, it seems like it should be a slam dunk.
Well, yeah. And what's interesting is that when he was initially arrested by the feds, he waived his Miranda rights and started talking to them. And while he was being interviewed by the feds, he confessed. He confessed, and he even described his behavior as treasonous. So how he's going to plead not guilty, I mean, that's going to be very, very interesting. And the public defender that he has is going to have her work cut out for her, to say the least.
Good God. That's absolutely insane, man. So we've got Nazi, psycho, satanic, Nazi, what is satanic Nazi,
jihadist,
crazy people out there. Is there any indication that this is not just him, that this was, have any other soldiers or service members been implicated in this?
No, not at this time, no. It doesn't appear that there's a larger plot or a larger conspiracy. I suppose time will tell, but at this time, no, it doesn't seem so.
All right. So let's shift gears a little bit. You had talked a little, we discussed a little bit before the show started about retirees. So let's talk, you know, Mad Dog Mattis comes out. He's a retiree. He's got some beef with the current administration, but now there is some new legislation out there that says even if you're a retiree, you could be held under some type of UCMJ, some type of you know, I guess a punishment process. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a kind of a convoluted process, and I don't think that, you know, Jim Mattis did anything illegal or anything that would warrant UCMJ action against him. However, there's this interesting sort of loophole here. So if you serve 20 years in the military, especially, it seems especially in the Navy and the Marine Corps, you do your 20 and retire, you are then placed into the Fleet Reserve, like the inactive reserve, for 10 years until you reach the 30-year mark. So now you have 20 years active service, 10 years inactive, and then you are put into the normal retiree roles, the normal retiree ranks. But during those 10 years that you're inactive, unless you've done your 30, if you did 30 years in the Navy or Marines, then you're out. You're completely out. But during that 10-year period, if you retire after 20 years and you're in the Fleet Reserve, you are still susceptible to UCMJ action as it stands today. And this is kind of coming to a head because there is a guy, Chief Petty Officer Stephen Bagani. And back in 2017, he was retired, but he continued to work on the base where he had been stationed, Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni in Japan, where he was doing aircraft maintenance. So 2017, he's there as a contractor now after retiring after 20 years. And according to the court records I reviewed, he was on an online chat talking to somebody named, quote unquote, I'm making air quotes here, Mandy, who was claiming to be a 15-year-old girl. So he shows up at the house, and it's a, you know, Chris Hansen, Catch a Predator type sting, and NCIS agents jump out of the closet like, hey, you're under arrest. Now, despite him being retired, despite him being a contractor, he was charged under UCMJ, and because he was a part of the Fleet Reserve. And his lawyer is now challenging the constitutionality of all of this because different retirees are falling under different rule sets. If he had retired after 30 years, he'd be tried in a civilian court as a civilian. But because this dude, Bagani, was in the inactive reserves, he was UCMJ'd and court-martialed as an inactive sailor, essentially. So what they're arguing is that there's like two different rule sets, even though there's like basically no difference between these different sets of retirees. I mean, like tangibly speaking, there's no real difference. So right now the highest military appeals court is looking at this to determine whether it's constitutional. It's called the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. if they do not make a decision on this, if they're unable to make a decision on this, then this case will go all the way up to the Supreme Court. That's the next court that it goes to after this.
So you do your 20. Then you go, is it, do you have a choice to join the reserve? Or is that going to be like mandatory?
It appears to be mandatory. I think everybody is in it.
So it's kind of like when you first join, right? So you do a 4-year contract.
You are put in the IRR for
4 years. Is it the IRR or is this like, because when I'm in the IIR, I'm not held to UCMJ.
It's the same idea behind it. And again, I'm not totally clear on that, Rod, to be totally honest with you. If, you know, like, are soldiers in the IRR subject to UCMJ, or is it just retirees? And I think that's going to kind of be at the heart of this case also. Like, why are different types of veterans treated in different ways under the law? Why are some come under UCMJ and some don't? And it doesn't really make sense.
Now, I know the example that you used is, a creepy dude that's trying to prey on kids. For sure, get that dude. But, I brought up Mattis, for example. Now, a lot of folks were saying they were under the impression that this type of law exists for people like General Mattis who had done his, I think he did 30, actually. But
yeah,
let's say he did his 20. You get out, you're a retired colonel, general, whatever. And you want to speak up against
administration. That's not how the law works. They can't punish you for exercising your freedom of speech. That would not happen.
Or what if you wanted to run for office? You can't run for office while you're in uniform. Right. If you're held by UCMJ standards, I wonder how that applies. If you do criticize the current administration, if I'm held by UCMJ, I can't go out and say, the president sucks. Can't do it. I can provide certain. You have to really. You're walking in eggshells. More like you're prancing around a minefield, really, because when that one goes off, it goes off. I'm very curious about that mentality. Like, is this supposed to quiet down some retirees? Is that the point?
Yeah, I think. It's like, yeah, okay, good luck with that. Like, you think you're gonna shut up a bunch of retired generals by threatening them with that? I mean, come on now. And the Department of Justice would not, I don't think they would have it. I don't think DOD would have it. It's the same thing with, like, technically you could drag in, like, when you see former, like, the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency or the former former directors speaking out publicly, making political statements on, like, MSNBC, technically, under the letter of the law, DOJ could probably prosecute them sometimes for alluding to or skating that edge on what is and is not classified information. But the government is never going to go through the whole rickroll of having to prosecute the former DCI. Like, it would be just such a media disaster.
Sounds like it's already kind of shaping up to be a disaster if they're not careful.
All right. They try to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. So we've gone from Nazis, satanic Nazis to retirees. Where does this Newsweek lead us to next?
To some more positive news, I guess.
Oh, thank God. Thank you.
Today. So we're doing this, we're recording this on Thursday, July 9th. Today, is the day the current class of Special Forces candidates at the Special Forces Qualification Course at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, are graduating. One of the graduates today is the first female soldier to graduate the Q course and to wear, now, today, she will be wearing the Green Beret.
What does that mean? What does that mean for the SF community? What's the general kind of a feeling towards this? Because this is big.
There's a lot of different feelings. I think that, I'll be quite honest with the older generation of Green Berets. I see a hell of a lot of anger about it. That's all related to cultural issues, cultural shifts, and larger political dynamics that are at play. And, you know, that like 60 to 70 year old demographic, like they're very angry about a lot of the things that are happening in this country right now. But then I shouldn't pigeonhole them either. I mean, there are a lot of special forces veterans who see some value in this and see this as a potentially positive development. And I was writing today about how, in some ways, this is a callback to our legacy and our heritage that comes out of the Office of Strategic Services in World War II. And during World War II, and this is what current Special Forces traces their unit's lineage back to, there were female OSS operatives. And some of them were incredibly brave. You know, there was Virginia Hall was one woman who had a prosthetic leg. And she deployed behind Nazi lines several times. Another was Rolande Edmondson, known as Frenchie. She deployed behind Nazi lines several times as well. And, you know, she made sacrifices. She was captured by the Gestapo, and they tortured her. And they tortured her by raping her. This was an incredibly brave woman, and she is a part of Special Forces history. If you go down to the Special Forces Association off on Doc Bennett Road down in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the building there is named Frenchie Edmondson Building. It has her name on it. So this is a part of our history. Women have always been a part of that history. Now, until recently, federal law barred women from serving in frontline combat positions, including Special Forces. So it was kind of out of the military's hands entirely. It was federal law. Now that has been repealed. Now women are starting to go through the selection process. Here we are at the end point that one woman has graduated the course. And I think one of the questions I have heard over the years is, what is the value added here? Like, we are going through all this rigmarole, all of this controversy. So what, we get one woman in the ranks maybe? There will be more in time, but right now just one. Like, where is the value added for this? And I think that perhaps this female soldier answers that question in some different ways. Because what we have here, and I won't say her name or anything like that, because they're trying to keep her on the down low so that she can go and do, you know, clandestine work, which I respect. But she is of Eastern European descent. She speaks a foreign language that's probably not very many people speak. And she is going to be going, I've been told, to 10th Special Forces Group, which that group is focuses on Europe as the European theater. So if you can't see the value in a woman of Eastern European descent who speaks the native language and is Special Forces qualified, I don't know what to tell you right now. I really don't know what to say. There's a tremendous amount of value in that. And, you know, I look forward to, you know, maybe one day I can meet her and hear her story firsthand way down the line after she finishes her military career. But it'll be interesting to see how it all shapes up.
So my problem with this isn't that she's a woman. It's kind of my problem with this story has been a little bit more along the lines of what they're going to do with her and the way that this has been handled. So, for example, you're not going to say her name because you're not a shitbag. There are shitbags out there. And this is going to be one of those, like, if I, you know, there goes this woman with a green beret in uniform walking around. And every one of our uniforms has a name. It's not going to be hard to be like, that's her. And there's going to be some shitbag out there with a video and a camera. The idea that there's any level of OPSEC that's going to be useful at this point is, in my opinion, wishful thinking. That's not going to happen.
You're correct, Rod. But that applies to the male soldiers too. It's not just female soldiers.
But there are enough of you guys that you can mix in. Like, you don't necessarily, a lot of SF guys, they don't wear the green beret. You guys, you know, when you're back in the rear, they wear them proudly. The real name tapes, the whole nine yards. True. But there are enough of you that you kind of mix in. You kind of like become a blob. She is like...
What are you trying to say, Rod? That us white guys, we all look alike. Bunch of bearded bros with green berets.
You know what? Your words, not mine. But but I will say that she's going to stand out.
Yeah.
She's the flare in the sky. I kind of wish that this had been kept a little more, in order for her to be useful, in order for her to bring more value to a team other than the token female, like, hey, we got one. You don't do that with the guys that are doing work with, Delta. They're not walking around with green berets typically. They're not out there doing their thing, and they're not out in the newspapers. Should be. Some of them wrote books, but you know what? They're not Navy SEALs. Boom, boom. That's kind of where I'm kind of like, well, we don't want to make her the token, but that's kind of what she ended up being. That's my concern.
I think Special Forces Command does not want her to be that. They don't want her to be the poster girl. I think they want her to actually go out and do her job, from what I hear. But I mean, you're right. This is the first woman to graduate the course. There is a spotlight on her, whether she wants it there or not, whether or not Special Forces Command wants it there or not. So it is a little bit harder for her to hide, so to speak, to blend in with all the, the white dudes with beards. I'm joking about that. There are lots of people of color in the ranks also. But yeah, I see what you're saying. She's the only female there. And there's a couple different...
They're gonna Captain America her. You remember, like in Captain America, where they juice up this dude, becomes the super soldier, and what do? They're like, here's your plastic shield, go in, you're now part of the fucking MWR. You're gonna go entertain the troops
and
you're a super soldier. I'm afraid that that's what's gonna end up happening with her, is that they're gonna, put her in front of the cameras event, because the first time you snap a picture of her, she's burned. We can't put her in Berlin, or like as if it's like the 1950s, but you can't put her in Moscow and be like, oh, nobody will recognize you now. Like, oh, there goes the female Green Beret,
Well, I mean, you're touching upon a much, much larger subject there, Rod. And it has to do with the U.S. military, how the U.S. military is structured. It has to do with title authorities. And this is all the difference between Special Forces and the CIA, and how people are put under cover, how they're managed. When I say cover, like under an alias with like a whole backstory and all of that sort of stuff. The military, it's not structured for that. It is not structured for covert operations. And the military largely doesn't really know how to do those types of operations. I mean, they kind of try, and sometimes they're quite successful at it, but it's not really their thing. And also the military, as you said, look, we wear berets, we wear name tapes, we wear patches, our names appear in promotion lists, publicly published lists. Our pictures appear on DVIDs, on Army published websites, our deployments are published. And you'd say, oh my God, we have no OPSEC. Well, the other way to look at this is we're Americans. And we're in a free and open society. We are not Russia, where these little green men wearing balaclavas just show up in Crimea and places like this, just like bullying people. Like, that's not America. Like, when American soldiers show up, yeah, they got the beret on and the name tape, and you can see their face and say, hey, that's Jack Murphy, or whoever that guy is. We're not hiding. We're out in the open. So there is a cultural clash here between the need for secrecy and the need for openness, our own American values. And of course, there is a need for military secrecy. There is a need for operational security. What is the correct balance between those two things? And I don't think the military is anywhere near close to figuring that out. frankly, I think the military still wants to act like it's 1945, and that they can, deploy an ODA to the Congo and it'll be hush hush. No one will hear anything about it. It's going to be completely secret. Like, no, it doesn't work like that anymore.
And that's interesting, because, coming from the intel background, there has always been like this, the intel world, you do want to have some discretion, but as a human counterintelligence guys, there's people out there doing really sensitive work. That is work that kind of parallels the CIA, the DIA. But at the same time, we are, like you just said, we're on the same promotion lists. You can go download that promotion and be like, 35 mics. Oh, there's all 35 mics. Oh, there's all three.
And then mics. Once I have your name, I'm going to go find you on social media. I'm going to pop you in 2 seconds. I'm going to start making a list. I'm going to start outlining the table of organization and equipment in your unit. I mean,
that guys I've do that this, to us all the time. Yeah. And we've done that to them.
I've done this as a journalist. I mean, because it's part of my job sometimes is to put these things together. It can all be done. You know, on the flip side, the how the CIA does things is very different. Those people are not going to appear in official photographs. They're not going to appear in promotion lists that are publicly published. Revealing their names. Now, there's this like notion that you can out a special forces member. There's no such thing as outing a special forces guy. There is nothing secret about them being in the military. There is no law that protects them. If you out a covered CIA official, you will be criminally prosecuted, most likely. That's actually against the law.
Unless you're a sitting member of Congress.
Yeah, or the president, because the president can declassify anything at any time.
That's true. That's his authority, yeah.
Yeah. So there are very different rule sets in how these things are governed. And when the military has a very like odd approach to secrecy, and in my opinion, some of it is based on just willful ignorance, and the you know, a Hail Mary that, you know, some journalist like me won't publish the information about it, like rather than having some sort of actual secrecy in place. But that's because the Army operates largely under Title 10 military authorities. The CIA is the only organization that really has Title 50 covert action authorities. So it's a complicated subject. I don't claim to have all of the answers.
Why don't you have all the answers, Jack? That's why you're here. So... Last thing I want to touch with you, how sad are you right now that you have to take, you got to uninstall TikTok off your phone? I know that
Jack Murphy is a put it on my phone.
I know that you're a prolific TikToker. You are behind some of the biggest trends in TikTok. I want to know more about that.
Yeah, I do those Marine videos, honor, commitment. Ooh, he's a Marine.
Yeah,
I'm the media mastermind behind all of those videos. But no, I do not have TikTok on my phone. My daughter says, "Why can't you put TikTok on your phone, Daddy?" I say, "Because I don't support communism, little girl. Now carry on about your business. Go play Pokemon or something. Not doing it."
Does she have TikTok?
She gets on her mother's phone and has it.
So you're like, mom is the communist supporter.
I tell them, I'm like, you know, you're supporting the Chinese. You're working for the Chinese government right now. You know that, right? And they're building a database on you with all the information you're giving them.
No, that's interesting because I know the Chinese companies are
talk about OPSEC. Jesus.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Chinese government doesn't directly own these companies, but they do, right? Like it's free market capitalism.
There are political commissars from the Chinese Communist Party inside these corporations that help direct and steer the companies.
So I know they also own Grindr.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so they have Grindr. They have a couple of like European and Asian dating sites. They have access to all of this information, plus the TikTok stuff now. So for folks that are like, well, why should I care? So here's the thing. This is personal information. This is stuff that matters to you. These are images, videos of your kids, of you. If you're out there cheating on your spouse right now, in about 5 years when you're running for that office, you might get a knock at the door, some pictures, some stuff like that.
If you're an Army officer and you're using Grindr and the Chinese are like, that's interesting. Look at this guy who's on here having extramarital affairs. You know, it's a national security issue. And anyone who has studied history and looks at the history of authoritarian governments making lists and databases of human beings should be concerned with this. Historically, that has not ended well. And they are not doing that because they are trying to take care of you and, you know, manage our lives for us in a beneficial way. So I'd really ask people to look at that and, you know, ask why, you know, regimes like the Soviet Union or the Third Reich kept massive lists of people and what they did with those lists.
And, you know, on that note, if you are getting blackmailed, if somebody shows up at your front door and you're an officer and they show you these pictures and if you just give them some information, they make it go away. Remember, folks, ask for it in glossy and stay the course, man.
And frame it.
And frame it. Just to, you know, I'm reminded of, you ever watch the show Billions?
Mm-mm.
There's a character in there. I've only watched a couple of episodes here and there, but somebody sent me this really cool clip. The guy is being interrogated by the police, and the police officer or the FCC or whoever it is, the investigators come in. They're like, we have pictures of you with this whole other family, and wouldn't it be a shame if your wife found out? Just work with us. We'll make this go away. Guy picks up his cell phone, and he presses the send button, and they're like, what was that? He said, I just emailed all of that to my wife. My wife and my family know. I just blew up my entire life. Like, you see, he just took their leverage out from underneath them.
You want to hear, I'm told this is a true story. A friend of mine in the CIA told me this story, that he worked for a guy who was a case officer, a crusty old case officer, and he's meeting with a source in a foreign country somewhere, and this Russian dude sits down in the booth sitting across from him, sits down, pulls out these photographs and slides them across the table to him. And they're pictures of him having sex with a woman who is definitely not his wife. And this case officer looks down at the photos, slides them back across the table to this guy, and says, I don't give a fuck. You want to call my wife right now? Let's call her. Let's go.
Hell yeah. See, that's the way you handle blackmail, folks. You don't go crying about it. Also call 1-800-SPY, whatever the Army's number is, for sure. Let's the counterintelligence
report the SATA threats, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Jack, thank you for being on the show, man. It's always interesting to hear your perspective. And let's see how this, what do we got? Satanic, jihadist, Nazis, how that works out. Let's see if the retirees get silenced, if, you know, they give them 10 years extra on top of your service, because that's what you deserve after 20 years. And let's see how Captain America works.
Yeah, right on, man. All right, brother. Thank you, Rod.
I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, take care.
Right, folks, this was The Back Brief. You can find Jack Murphy on Twitter at Jack Murphy, RGR. You can find me on Twitter as well at Rod Pod Rod. This was The Back Brief. That's it. I will see you guys at the next episode. Hey, before I go, make sure you check out ConnectingVets.com. and Vet Story. I know I'm asking a lot of you. There's a lot of things happening here at the very tail end of the show, but leave us comments. Look, we like interaction. This is a video or audio. You can't like yell back at me, but you can. You can join the rest of the world and drop crazy comments. Please don't be crazy. I get enough of those, but yeah, we do want to hear from you, and that's it. Okay, for reals this time, I'm out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.